Blog Talk Radio.
What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if the American people learned the truth?
The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. What it will not tell you is that there have been 20 foiled plots, and of them, three were interrupted by members of the public. The 17 that were interrupted by the feds were created by the feds. Why do we pay the government to trick us into believing it is keeping us safe? What if a government that manipulated us could be fired? What if a government that lacked the true and knowing consent of the governed could be dismissed? What if it were possible to have a real game changer? What if we need a Ron Paul to preserve and protect our freedoms from the government? What if we can make elections matter again? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand and time is running out.
Unless we do something, we're going to get the government that we deserve.
How did you let this happen? Wake up out there. You know, it's your children. Don't you care? Look what these people are doing to you.
There are 200 million adults in this country. Why we are letting them get away with what they are, why we're not marching in the streets.
Do everything in your power to restore freedom and your individuality back to America. Stop being a country run by the institutions for the institutions. Let's go back to we the people, by the people, for the people.
You have to stop being scared. You have to stand up and do what's necessary to take back, to stop these bankers, these elite, this government full of lies, congressmen full of liars.
And the Federal Reserve. And the fractional banking system.
And the Fed.
Elect Ron Paul and the war.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Okay, everybody, Joseph Gibson here, podcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina tonight. How's everybody doing? It's 7:03 p.m. on the East Coast here. We're going to be live here. I've got a few callers here to line up. I do have a couple guests here. If you missed last night's show, we did line up. We were talking about the prison system, the prison industrial complex. We talked about a story last night also with a individual that's been in the Department of Corrections in the state of California for, well, I don't like to call it the Department of Corrections. It's actually a Department of Corruption or Department of Warehousing of Human Souls. But we have an individual that's been locked up for 20 years, went up for parole, and they denied his parole, and he doesn't get his next review for 5 years. And we're going to have her back on. And then we have another individual that's going to come on. She's a little bit nervous. I'm going to bring her on in a few minutes here. So I have a couple other things to line up. So what I want to do here is say about 2 minutes, we'll go live. And we'll take your calls tonight, too, so everyone will get a chance to speak, as long as it's pertaining to the general subject at hand. I mean, I always like to say that everyone gets a chance to bring up whatever topics that they want to bring up. Just try to stay relevant on topic. You know, like I said, I have a couple guests here tonight, so I'm kind of like, and if you're calling in, I'm going to try to screen the callers as best as possible, because I don't want my guests to be, any backlash that comes. One of them is pretty nervous, actually, so... Be back in about 3 minutes, everybody.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement.
And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
I believe a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
All right, everybody, we are live here now tonight, and the phone number is 657-383-0616. Press the number 1 if you have something you want to talk about here tonight. But like I said, I have two guests that I did schedule to come on tonight, and they're going to tell their stories. And their story, and what their agenda is, and what they're out there fighting for, and what they're about. Now, what I would like to do also is that I know today's football day, and we're in the social distancing, so therefore there's no crowds and there's no tailgating at the football season. It begins here, and you know, so everyone's at home, crammed up at home, fighting with each other. And drinking their alcohol and watching the gladiators on the football field, you know, run into each other. And meanwhile, the bankers and the elite are already know who's going to win the game. So, you know, when there's ever big money involved, come on, you know it's rigged. So just like our elections. But so hopefully tonight we can get a good audience. I know I didn't want to do a show on the kickoff here of football, but nobody's at the football games. They're all at home, so hopefully they're listening tonight. I know we got some guests out from California on here. I did ask my friend from California, Dr. Peter Ventura, to listen in tonight, too, and a few other of my friends that are listening. I know my grandmother's listening from Wallingford, Connecticut, so I want to say hello to her. She hasn't been on for quite some time now listening. She's, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's my show has been too boring for her. I don't know. She's been a supporter since day one of the show. So hopefully my other friends are listening from Connecticut also, and you know I'm broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina, the Triad, and we're going to begin the show now. Let's see, where my first guest here, Ms. Moreno. Moreno, can you press 1, please, on my call? Can you press the number 1 so I can make sure you're there? Because I've got about 36 numbers, and well, you both pressed 1. I think there's 2 of you. So I'm going to go with the first one first here. I believe this is your 213. I'll go with 213 first. I think that's Moreno. Yeah, Ms. Moreno. All right, I want you to come on, introduce yourself like you did last night. I think this is you. Tell your story like you did, and then we'll go to my second guest. Go ahead. You're unmuted.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Mary Moreno. My husband was incarcerated. He's been incarcerated for 20 years. He went to the Board of Parole hearings as a youth offender July 30th and was denied. The reasons he got for denial were, excuse my French BS, he got denied under a little petty things. For example, the fact that police officers were involved in this case played a huge role in the denial, in the consideration. The fact that, you know, he has 5 years of positive programming, continuous positive programming, but before he had not really programmed a lot because he was in a maximum security prison, in a level 4 prison, where there is not enough programming available for lifers such as himself. And then, you know, to top it off, they threw in, you know, a couple of other things that his disassociation with gangs, which they don't believe that he is currently disassociated because he's still in a in the what do you call it? Help me out here. I'm sorry.
He's in the general population where there are gang yep. members. So yep. obviously his cell partner, for goodness sake, could be a gang member. So how you disassociate right. yourself with him, you know?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Right. So with that said, even though he has completed and been part of several self-help groups, he has also mentored the youth inside. He even participated in a program and a documentary, actually, that's going to air out in November, I believe, with Lisa Ling. She interviewed several men where he is located, and he participated in that.
What prisons has he been in the state of California, and where is he now?
He was 3 years in the county pending his trial, and then he was transferred to Folsom, and then he was at Ironwood, and now he's at CTF Soledad.
Okay, all right. So is he in a minimum security facility now, or a medium security, like they call it? You said his level. I know a little bit about the levels. So is he a minimum right now?
Minimum, yeah. He's in a minimum right now.
Okay, that's great. Okay, that's a lot better. So he gets more privileges and whatnot. Can you explain real quick what type of privileges they get in the minimum prison, for instance? What type of activities is he allowed to partake in now that he's in a minimum security prison?
There's not that many. For him, it's not much of a difference because he is a lifer. So because he is a lifer, he could only be at a level 2 prison. So basically,
okay.
he doesn't really have any privileges. The most of the privileges that he would get right now is just more opportunity for programs.
Okay, I got you. Is it a dormitory type of setting, the prison that he's in right now? Is it cell blocks?
No, not in the yard where he is. He's in the cell block.
Okay. Is it a 2-man cell, or are they? I know in the county jail they've got sometimes they put you in, they call a fishbowl, you know, where it's 12, 13 men in one freaking tiny little enclosed glass cage, you know. But is it a two man cell?
Yeah, it's literally like a bathroom with 2 men.
Yeah, we went over that last night. Actually, we tried to for the guests on here. We tried to depict what it is actually like to be inside of a cell, you know. And if you anyone go over that real quick, just imagine sitting in your bathroom and locking the door and not being able to get out, and spending an hour in there, then maybe 2 hours, then spend a day in there, then spend a week in there. And just imagine you cannot get out all this time. And just imagine you got to spend years in there. And you only get to come out to take a shower once in a while. And you only get to come out maybe to get your dog food that they serve you, because you know that it's all garbage food they serve you in there. And, you know, and or to go out and maybe run around in a fenced-in cage for a little while and look at the sun and dream about freedom again, you know, because that's what it's all about. Now, I'm not trying to shed light on the people out there that – I want to go over this real quick. There's people out there that have been victims of crimes. You know, there's a lot of – I mean, you know, we have notorious rapists out there, murderers, that have really hurt innocent people out there. And those people surely should be confined and rehabilitated. You know, I'm not trying to take away from any victims out there, because, you know, some people do have to break away from society. And for whatever reason, whether or not they had a tough upbringing or they themselves were abused as children, you know, they don't have an opportunity to gain the things that some of us do or have an opportunity to gain. So therefore, you know, some people make wrong choices. So they make mistakes. So therefore, you know, I understand. And you have to pay for your mistakes. You have to be accountable. So I'm not trying to take away from those people, but by no means should really anybody be subjected to what a lot of inmates are subjected to today in the supposed correctional system. But go ahead real quick and then tell us how people can support you, get in touch with you, and then I'm going to bring on my second guest here, okay?
Great, yes. You know, you guys can contact me through Facebook at Mary Moreno, that's Mary. Moreno, I'm sorry, or you could email me at bringpaulhomenow@gmail.com. And, you know, the way
right,
that
right.
you could actually help, you could help by signing a petition. You could help by actually calling in the day that the board is going to have their executive meeting. And we actually have time to request for a full review of his case and, you know, disagree with a denial decision. And, I mean, that's still a possibility.
Can you provide for us, or when they email you, a phone number for the listeners out there tonight that can call this review board and give your husband's inmate number and name and say, hey, we feel that this man should be released and put back with his family and be given an opportunity to go back out into society because he's proven himself and he's paid his debt. Can you provide that later on, perhaps a phone number where people can contact? Cause that's why I find a lot of my listeners, they like phone numbers because a lot of people today are so much crammed for time, they won't sit down and write a letter, which I think they should. But I'm just saying people would like to call maybe, you know?
Right. I actually do have the number. I would prefer that somebody email me for the details, but I can definitely give out the number. It's 1-877-601-3547. Again, that's 1-877-601-3547. And the code, the participant code is 628-1453.
And your husband's full name, if you don't mind, please.
It's Paul Moreno.
Paul Moreno.
And what you guys can do is you could actually call in that day. The meeting starts at 10 my time, which would actually be 8 p.m. I think it's, what would that be, 1 p.m. your time.
Well, be on the East Coast, it would be, so if it's 10, if it's it's 8 p.m. Pacific time, correct? California time, right?
No, it's at 10 a.m. September.
Oh, 10 a.m. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Yeah, September 15, which is Tuesday.
Okay, September 15th on Tuesday, everybody. September 15th on Tuesday. So what you want to do, folks, is you want to call in tomorrow, and then you want to call in Tuesday. But you want to load up the phones both days. Start calling. Try to get a hold of somebody in the California Department of Corrections and Paul Moreno. Talk about Paul Moreno's case and say, hey, and if you don't know about it, you know what? Go online. Look it up. I'm sure it's online. Or contact Mr. Moreno, and let's get this guy free out of the prison system in California. We can do that. You know, if enough people out there from the general public put pressure on the parole board to say, hey, release this guy. The parole board, you see, is only concerned because they don't want any backlash because if Mr. Moreno got out and he committed 7 murders, they'd say, see, you let him out. You shouldn't have. You know, and that's what usually happens, and they get a bad backlash. No, this guy has a good support system. He's got a good wife waiting for him, and he's paid his debt, for goodness sake, 20 years being locked down in Folsom Prison, folks. You know, if you don't know about prisons, I'd say Folsom Prison is a very rough place to do your time. Okay, it's not no cakewalk. You're in a rough environment there. And for that guy to make it through there for 20 years to go through this system, I say hats off to him. He needs to be released. He really does. Mr. Moreno, I want to keep you on the phone line because I have someone else out from your area that I want to bring on here. And let's see, where is she? There she is. Okay, 916. What I'm going to do is I'm going to connect you, 916, and I want you to introduce your name. I have Mrs. Moreno on here with you. You two are going to be on together. I'm not going to mute her. And introduce your name and talk about what you want to talk about here on Understanding the Times in Which You Live Today from Greensboro, North Carolina. Go ahead, 916.
Hello, good evening. I'm Destiny Shipley. I actually reside in Sedalia, Missouri. And my kids were taken here in Sacramento, California. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 10-month-year-old. And really, CPS kind of just came out of the blue and took my kids. I'm an active member of a Cherokee, Oklahoma tribe. And I guess really...
Let me help you out through here. Okay, now you said CPS took, you remember the Cherokee tribe, you said. Now, CPS took your children, they came to your home, took the children. What reason did they say? They obviously just didn't open the door and come in and take your children. They knocked on the door. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, actually, we came up here on vacation, and we were actually just going to Walmart to transfer money from a card to another card, and they had... came on an anonymous tip to Walmart. I was sitting in the car with my kids, and they came on an anonymous tip of me abusing and neglecting my children in our car while my boyfriend was in Walmart transferring money. They came and arrested me, put me in the back of the cop car, and I was not aware of why I was being arrested. My boyfriend was also arrested, unaware of why we were being arrested. CPS had the ambulance come and take my kids, put them in the back of the ambulance, and they took off. We were unaware
of
our charges.
Hang on a second here. Whoa, my Lord. Goodness, you should be fired up and angry. You're at a store, you and your man there, and the police come, and they just – now, did they, like, just approach you and say, ma'am, do you have some identification? Who are you? I mean, how did this happen? Can you give me a little more detail? I mean, what the heck was their reason?
They got an anonymous tip, I guess, by somebody at Walmart, and they – I guess that I was hitting my daughter, my oldest daughter, in the back of my car, and we were just sitting there. They were actually all asleep, and therefore they just came and accused me of abusing and neglecting my kids. They didn't approach my car.
So they're accusing you. They're saying that you were hitting your children, or they were being abused and neglected. So therefore, someone that was in the same general vicinity as you guys made an anonymous tip saying, "I see these people over here abusing these children. We need the police here." So they came on an anonymous tip, and they just handcuffed. I could see that happening. But go ahead, continue.
They pulled me out of the car. They asked who I was, and I gave them my name. They put me in the back of a cop car in handcuffs and did not say they were taking my kids or why they were taking my kids. And then they arrested my boyfriend also, and we were actually – we sat in the cop car for a good 30 minutes while they searched my car, did whatever they were doing. They destroyed my car and then called CPS to actually come out there and take pictures. And therefore, they found out that we had became stranded up here in California. And then they called us homeless. And I've actually reached out to all the services up here in California to help us. We were only homeless for 2 days while they said we were homeless for a month, and then.
Okay. I'm getting the logistics of this now. They came and they detained you, and basically because they detained you, now they're stating that now you're homeless because you can't provide them with a physical address in that area because you were just visiting. So they're saying so.
Correct.
They automatically assumed you're homeless, right?
Correct.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Oh Lord. And then of course they kidnap your boyfriend. So therefore, now you're stuck there, okay? And they got you in handcuffs. Now they got an ambulance coming to kidnap your children. You don't know what the hell's going on. You don't know really where you are because you're visiting an area. So now you're in a mess. What happens next?
We actually all got taken down to the jail with all my kids. My kids were there, and I did not get to see them. We had our dog with us, and then my boyfriend and I were restrained in cells. At the police station, they informed us of why we were being arrested, what I was accused of, and that I was being charged with abuse and neglect. My boyfriend was not charged with actually the same things that I was. Therefore, they sat there, had CPS come in, talk to us, and pretty much we were forced to sign our rights over to our children, and they did not let us read the paper we were signing. And I haven't seen my kids. Since I've had less than 2 hours on a Zoom video call visiting my kids, and it's been 35 days today that I have not had them.
Excuse me. Hang on. How long has it been? 35 days, you said?
35 days today.
Oh, Lord. I know it's emotional. I know you're nervous, too. I know this is emotional, so it's hard for you to, be put on the spot, and I want people to understand that. It's hard for her to reflect every single instant of what happened. It's just not like she's sitting here thinking about it. She's on a radio show right now, and she's reciting the story. So she's upset. Her children have been taken. I know that feeling. And and she had negative contact with the criminal government, the bat faggots, the Federal Reserve enforcers. And so now her kids are gone, and she was forced to sign documents that she was not able to read. So she doesn't know what the hell she signed. But her children have been taken away, so she's very upset about this. So I want people to understand the mindset of what someone's going through while she's trying to tell her story, okay? Because, all right. So go ahead, continue on.
After we got released from the police station, they did not release our kids to us, and they kind of just gave me the keys back to my car. We had to walk back to Walmart and try to figure out how we were supposed to get our kids back. We had no phone. We had nowhere to go. We had no contact with anybody and we didn't find out our caseworker's name for a good week after they were taken. Nobody contacted us. And therefore, after I was able to get in contact with the phone, I found out the caseworker's name, and she came and served us our papers and what they thought should be done with our children. We went to court
You said what they thought should be done with your children. What they thought should be done.
Right.
What did they think should be done?
That they should remain in a foster home until I was able to be a resident of California. I was able to get a job, and I could provide everything that they thought that I didn't have, even though they were already in protective custody as soon as they left.
Wow, that's amazing. Unbelievable. So therefore, they're telling you you have to be a resident of the state of California. Okay, that's what they're saying. Now, let me ask you a question. So are you a United States citizen?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, listen, you don't have to be a resident of any damn state. Okay? All right. First of all, you're on American soil, and you have the rights guaranteed to you underneath the United States Constitution. Okay? Period. End of story. Your children have been kidnapped, and they need to be returned to you. End of story. Okay? Have you been charged with anything? Are you charged with a crime?
Yes, I'm being charged, and I actually go to court later in November. And it's actually November 11th, I go to court.
Okay, what were you charged with? What did they charge you with?
Abuse and neglect.
Abuse and neglect. Abuse and neglect. They charge you of abuse and neglect based upon an anonymous tip. Oh, my goodness. What is this, Nazi Germany? This is Nazi Germany all over again. Unbelievable. What is this? The secret police just pull up and they kidnap your children? And you must have been targeted for a reason. You were targeted.
Right.
I'm not saying you did something wrong. What I'm saying is they were watching
right.
you. For some reason, they want your children. For some reason, they want your children. And this is
and
terrible.
And actually, in Missouri, I have a 3-bedroom house. And we actually resided there in a little town, Marshall, Missouri, for almost over a year. And we just came up here on vacation. Be introduced to the rest of his family up here in Stockton.
What's the name of the police department that engaged you?
West Sacramento Police Department, which is actually located in Yolo County.
Okay.
And actually, they placed my kids not even in Yolo County foster home. They placed them in Sutter County foster home, and they were being abused and neglected there.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, when's your court date again?
For my charges, it is November
yes.
11th. And then my next court case for my kids is actually September 21st at 2 p.m.
Okay, so you're charged with neglect of your children. So they November 11th, then you go there for your children, hearing, obviously, in some sort of administrative court. Unbelievable. I just don't understand this. I just don't get it.
This is
terrible. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I ended up serving the CPS of Yolo County an affidavit of show of cause proof of claimant and demand contract. Therefore, they had 3 days to reply, and they did not. So then after that, I gave them the notice to eject and notice the two principal to notice.
Okay, so your children right now, so right now, your children, you're not allowed to see your children right now. You've seen them, what, through a Zoom? Because that's right, because it is COVID thing that they're doing everything through
yes.
Zoom right now, right? So you were able to go on a video monitor. How old are your children again?
My daughter's 4. My middle son just turned 2 while he's been in their custody. And then my youngest son just turned 10 months.
Oh, God. Oh, my Lord. Oh, jeez. Unbelievable. I don't know how you're holding up. I mean, I can understand why you were nervous when you called me, and I can understand what you're going through. I mean, I just don't know how you're. Are they all together or are they in separate homes?
They actually recently separated them when I had came in contact with CPS. Therefore, I call every day. I call 10 times a day, trying to get a Zoom visit set up or some way I can get them back in my custody or sent back to Missouri. My family's actually called to try to get my kids back to Missouri, and they're denying it. Therefore, I did go about my own way of serving the sheriff these papers to go serve them for my rights being taken. They've
good for you.
Taken all my rights away to my children. And the sheriff told me he did not abide by the constitutional law. He abided by state law. Therefore, I asked for his oath of office, and he did not provide me with one, but he said he had one.
Wow. Good for you. All right. Now, this is a very important part of this. Ms. Moreno, you're still there on the phone line. You're probably shaking your head. You probably can't believe this is going on, right?
You know, she made me totally forget about my story. I'm just like, wow, I feel for her as a mother. I could only imagine what she's going through. And it's funny that you have her on the call because I work in family support services, and we see this all the time. And I've always asked myself this question. You know, the government has the resources to take these children away, place them in a home where they're going to pay their foster parents about $2,000 plus a month per child, you know, for them to be mistreated and not being taken care of. But they don't have the resources to say, okay, mom, here you go. We are going to support you to get a house, you know, to get possible parenting classes, whatever it is, but your children stay with you because there's nothing worse in this world that could possibly cause more psychological trauma to a child than being taken away from their parents. And I wish people in this country would understand that. I studied psychology. I'm not an expert, but I know the effects that has on a child. And, you know, my respects to this young lady that's on the phone. She's doing everything she possibly can. I could only imagine. I, you know, knock on wood, being in her shoes, you know, must be horrible. So I commend her for what she's doing.
Yes, yes, we do. Because going through this, but this is a fighter now. This is how I met her over social media platform. She wants to go after these people. She's posting stuff up there, and she wants to go after these people. Can you talk a little bit about that? You went over about the rights and the sheriff and everything and the rights and stuff. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and maybe wake people up to this stuff?
I met these people. They actually came after my boyfriend was arrested again after the following due to a probation violation. They decided to extradite him today back to Missouri. He's been detained for 30 days also. Therefore, I've been on my own this entire time with my kids being taken. And I was kind of left out here in California by myself. When I went out to ask for help and get services provided, they said they did not provide any services. Therefore, I was not a resident of California.
You're not a resident of California, so therefore you can't apply for any public assistance. Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
I met these people, and they came across this information that I had no aware of, and that my rights cannot be taken as a human, a person, a mother, and just a citizen of the United States. Therefore, all my rights have been violated, taken from me to my kids. Like I said, I've only had maybe 2.5 hours of contact with my children. And every time that I come in contact with them, my daughter is crying. She has bruises all over her face. And same with my other two kids. They were outgoing children. They were very talkative, and they've just became silent.
All right. So you're going after these people. But I know you're afraid because the well-being of your children, obviously, too. I mean, that's always going through the back of your mind, like, because you don't want any retaliatory action towards your children. You know where your children are being housed at? Do you have their location, or are they keeping that secret from you?
They won't tell me exactly where they are. On the reports that I've gotten, they're somewhere else that the CPS person has told me. I can't get anything on their medical records, nothing. But all I was aware of, they were in Sutter County, and I guess they've been putting my kids on medication, and remind you, they're only 4, 2, and 10 months.
Lord.
Oh, that's could I say something there? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
You know, that's illegal, because you have not lost your parental rights. Until you lose your parental rights, they can do that. But they legally, they could only put your children under medication if they were evaluated and a psychiatrist made that suggestion and you agreed to it in writing. That
there was no agreement.
Yeah, they can't do that. And you, the next time you go to court in September for your children, that would be an adjudication, which means that the judge is probably going to tell you what you need to do to recover your children, to get your children back. But, I mean, I understand your story. I mean, I understand all this is BS, but to them it's just a process, and we all have to just sit here and just comply with what they tell us to do. But definitely don't give up. And, yeah, hold them accountable.
Well, she's not giving up. She's not. And that's why, one of the reasons why I brought her on the show. I'm hoping I can get a couple other people here who know about this stuff. I'm hoping my friend here from Minnesota is listening, that maybe she'll call in. What do you have? Do you have anything planned for these people when you go to court? I mean, because I know you're talking about enforcing your rights. Do you have anything planned?
Yes, I actually have a notice of default that I filed with the sheriff, and he told me that they did not abide by the Constitution. Therefore, he would not enforce my rights. So I went to arbitration, and I'm starting the hearing. And actually, the day that I go to court on September 21st will be their 10 days to acknowledge the arbitration. And so, if they do not answer, I win by default, and I get my kids back. If they do answer, they will look at the contracts and see if they're valid and hopefully find it in my favor of my rights, because I've lost every right that I have to my kids. I can't – I get 15-minute video calls.
I know. I know it's rough. It's difficult. And those of you that are just tuning in to the show – I've got two guests on here tonight. One who has a husband that's been in prison for 20 years now, the state of California. And then I have this female on right now in California that was visiting Sacramento, and her children were kidnapped by CPS right in front of her very eyes. And they were trumped up charges, neglect she's charged with, based upon an anonymous tip, because they were sleeping in the back of a car while she was there with them. And her boyfriend ran into the store, I guess, to do something, and someone said that her children were being neglected. So they were obviously scoping her out and watching her for some reason, why they were and this is what they do. They target certain children. They must have been following her or something. Get to the bottom of this somehow. But this is sad. And so have you heard of any of the information that you can use? For instance, you said the sheriff that now they violated their oath of office. You were talking about that. Can you expound upon that again?
They took an oath and to uphold the Constitution, and I served them with my constitutional rights, and they said they did not abide by it. They abided by state law only, and they pretty much refused my rights as a citizen and everything else.
Is there any recourse that you can think of that you can do based upon that? I mean, shouldn't this be – this should be – everyone should be yelling at the top of their lungs that what just happened here. You heard what she just said? They're not going to recognize her constitutional rights, because this is what we talk about, that the fact of the matter is that you don't have any constitutional rights because they've been stolen from you. They've been taken from you, okay? There is no constitution. It's only there as an act, okay, because you're under codified laws. General statutes, public policy, not public law. So, but you can see how you reclaim your constitutional rights. I wish, I wonder if Sarah's out there someplace, or Jamie, or somebody what we could talk about, we can get on that subject, or where we can maybe help this female out and let her know how she can you know, enforce her rights, because she's going about it the right way right now. She started the process because her children have already been kidnapped and stolen from her by force. And she's saying her children have black and they have bruises all over them. They're being pumped up with medication against their will, against the mother's will. How can she? Is there anything she could do to serve these people with any type of paperwork before she goes to court? I mean, is there anything that she can do, you know, before she goes to court? Why does she have to wait till her court date? Because I know every single day before that court date is like, you're so nervous and you're upset and you're afraid. I mean, where is the people out there? Where is this revolution that everyone's fighting out there in the streets? I mean, what are they fighting for? What are we fighting for? These are cases that are happening every single day around America. Everyone needs to be getting together and tackling this CPS issue, this kidnapping of children across America. And where are these children going? Who are these foster care parents? Who are these people? She doesn't know. I don't know. I mean, why not? Why shouldn't we know? Why are they placed with these foster parents? What's the end game here? Well, it was just brought up. Money. Money. They're paid money. Well, where does this money come from? Let's get to the bottom of the rabbit hole here. That's what we're trying to get to. That's what we're trying to examine here. This is just sad. Anything else you want to add here to your story here?
Yolo County actually has increased their placement of children 68% from 2015 to 2016. Therefore, they have placed 54,000 kids since 2016 in foster care homes and actually gave them adoption. Therefore, when I go to court, they are actually speaking about who's going to be able to adopt my kids, and which they're probably going to try to adopt my kids out, only being 35 days detained to these foster care parents. And they are making my kids call them mom and dad already.
Yeah. That's okay. So when you go to court, 35 days, this is amazing. I mean, this is getting bad. This is getting really bad. For this to be exposed, I mean, right here now, why? I mean, this is really getting bad out there where their children are being snatched up, and it's happening quick. Because I've talked to people on this show where this is a year process, 2 years, 3 years, they're putting people through this, and we've been exposing it. You know, I've done the Schwab family, actually, where they were a Navy veteran. His children were kidnapped. We fought for him. The Pelletier case, remember that? That was on the Glenn Beck show, actually. We did the show first, actually. And then the captain did it, and then it went on Glenn Beck, the Blaze TV network. And then they put a gag order on that case right after that. And then we had Terry LaPointe on here from Medical Kidnap, where this is years ago, where she was talking about how this is going to keep getting worse unless we wake up and we start fighting back. So, you know, burning down the buildings and rioting in the streets for nonsense is not the right way to go about this, because there are different ways. We have to restore everything lawfully. And I always talk about this, you know, restoring the republic, you know, restoring our Constitution lawfully. They have to abide by law. If there's no law or recourse for us citizens to use, and there's no readdress of our government, then we have no other choice but revolution. You have no other choice. You know, it's null and void. We have got to figure out a way to fight back. And that way is, a lot of people have ideas, but those ideas disappear. You know, they just fade away. You know, and the thing is a lot of them are good ideas, but the people today, what it is we're too busy trying to stay alive, you know, fighting with each other over nonsense, or watching football, or being entertained. And being sidetracked, basically, you know, and we've got to fight back. We've got to. I mean, this is our children, for goodness sake. Did you just hear this story, folks? That this woman just talked about. That she just shared her story of her children being forcibly kidnapped right before her very eyes, and there was nothing she could do about it. She was detained, handcuffed, and her boyfriend was on probation, so he's already got three strikes against him. He's already, you know, he's going down. You know, I mean, so he can't fight. He's kidnapped. He himself is kidnapped. So I just can't believe what I'm hearing here. But I'd like to take other callers here. If you want to press the number one, it's 657-383-0616. If you want to talk about this, or maybe give these individuals some advice, or talk about this situation that we're facing here in America today, and what is happening and why it's happening. I would welcome the callers here tonight to chip in here and make your voices heard. Or if you have your also individual story, I don't know if some of my friends are out there that I did invite to the podcast here. I would hoping that they would join me here. I know I see a few on the phone line, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take about a 3-minute break here. So you ladies stay with me. And we'll get back here to the podcast, and hopefully we'll bring some more information to you and talk about this case some more. So just be patient. About 3 minutes, we'll be live again, okay?
William Wallace.
Gotta be. We're tall enough.
The Almighty says this must be a fashionable fight. It's drawn the finest people. Where is thy salute?
For presenting yourselves on this battlefield. I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland.
And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Killed men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his heart. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. All right. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your bed, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson here, podcasting, Greensboro, North Carolina. Rihanna, are you out there? Press the number one, please, if you're out there. Where are you? I don't see you on my call board. I know I just messaged you. You said you were going to come in here and tell your story here, chip in. Where are you? Press the number one, please. I don't see you on the call screen. Oh, let's see. Are you? Oh, there you are. I think that's you. Okay, 660. Go ahead. Hello, 660.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm calling in for Destiny. I'm actually the people that she met.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. That's great. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else that I was trying to patch through, but go ahead. The time is yours. Go ahead.
I was just calling to try to give some insight on the paperwork and the things that she's already done to be able to try to get her kids back. We actually found some information just doing searches on the internet to try and see what resources were out there to help her, and we found a website where a man has put in countless hours and hours of research and work trying to fight his own fight with CPS, and he actually put things together in a package that we were able to purchase from him to start her fight. So what she's done is, because CPS is not a government agency, they're a for-profit corporation, what she's done is she was able to put together a contract and serve them with a contract with stipulations that they needed to adhere to in order to do the things that they wanted to do. There were a bunch of claims about that her rights were being violated, and they needed to show her where they had the right to violate them, and they had 72 hours to answer her. And as of yet, they have not answered her at all. So we filed a notice of default with the CPS department, as well as the sheriff's department. That's what she was talking about when she said the sheriff told her they don't follow constitutional law. She created her own private court, and the judgment in that court was that they were in default, and the sheriff said that he would not uphold that. So we've now since started arbitration proceedings so that we can get the judgment from the arbitrator, take it to the state court, and have it verified.
Okay. All right. You're doing good. Hey, keep going. This is good information.
We're doing everything we can. You know, we a lot of information is on the website, and a lot of it you just have to research yourself to get, you know, to get the information that you want out there.
That's right. What's this website? What is this website, and how can other people find it? And what's and what and like you said, obviously you're very knowledgeable and you know what you're talking about. But how can people who don't know what they're what you're talking about or are new to this and are out there scared to death and don't know what to do? What do you, what advice can you give them, and where can you direct them to?
Right. So the website is getmychildrenback.org. And right now, if you look on the website, what it says on the first page is that the man has since shut down all of the information that he's been putting out there because he fears for his life. And he's very scared of continuing to put the information out there because they are targeting him. And so rather than freely sharing information like he was, he's just shut it all down, basically. But I have copies of all of the information that I got from his website, and anybody who's fighting any type of CPS case is welcome to give us a call. Contact us, however, through emails, and we will help as much as we possibly can because I dealt with my own CPS case years and years ago. Now I watch what she's going through. This is ridiculous. They are literally taking children, and I believe running them through these sex trafficking rings. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. How can they contact you, or how can we, because that's what we have to do. We have to get numbers together. People cannot be out there standing alone. To get, you know, together we stand, divided we fall. So how, what
Definitely.
Do you recommend, you know, how can we do that?
Definitely. My telephone number is, well, you can call myself or Destiny. My telephone number is 916-706-9666, or they're welcome to call Destiny Shipley at 660-619-4453. We have a wealth of information. We've done countless hours of research pertaining to CPS cases, countless hours. So we have tons of information about your constitutional rights, how they violate them on a daily basis, the steps that you'll have to go through and what's going to happen as you're going through these steps. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. But you have to do your due diligence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a process. When you're a mother, she's going through a lot of the same things I went through. When you're a mother and they snatch your children from you, there's biological changes that happen along with the emotional things that you go through. Like, you are part of them. They're part of you. And so to have to be without them is taxing in the worst way. And it's hard to keep it together and maintain control to try to go through these legal processes when you just want your children back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes
yeah.
it very difficult.
It's difficult.
You can, yeah, if you can work through the process, work through the way that things are set up, because the Constitution has a way for you to follow the law and get your children back. They should have never taken them in the first place. It's complete kidnapping. But
yeah,
if you're able to sit and just take a deep breath and go through the process, you can get them back. You can.
I've got 717. I see you waiting. I'm going to bring on another caller. I know I've got a bunch of people now on the line, so just watch your background noise, everybody. And I'm going to bring 717 on. She's got a similar situation, so we're going to bring her on. Go ahead, Rihanna.
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right.
I'm trying to make sure it's very quiet in here. So I don't know how similar my case is. Joe just sent me a message and asked me to get on here. So I was trying to write down your numbers that you gave, but they were a little fast. But anyways,
right. We'll
I have my children.
We'll give them again. Go ahead.
Okay. Awesome. So I had my children taken April 5th of 2017 for sexual allegations against the biological father. There were two prior investigations before that were unfounded. But anyways, we found out that in the middle of our case that somebody had taken my daughter out of school and taken her to Eufaula Health and Wellness in Oklahoma. And the dumbasses left our name, my number. And the last time she was seen at this place was December of 2017. Or not 2017, 2016. And they refused to give us that information. The lawyer I had was court appointed and had later on in our case found out that he was a peeping Tom.
Rihanna, let's speed up to 2020 and tell us what's going on now with your case, because you have not seen your children. Your children have been taken from you. I mean, there's been, your case is like an entire book, actually, of complete fraud and theft and lies and corrupt judges in Oklahoma. So what can you tell us right now what's going on?
August 7th of 2018, I went for an appeal. I told my lawyer I wanted an appeal. He completely dropped the ball and went for a reconsideration, which totally fucked up my whole case. I didn't find out until 3 days before my appeal time was up. Now to 2020, I have an advocate that had actually gone to prison for sexual allegations. And for him to go to prison, it was that his wife would get the children. He's helped me write a petition to vacate judgment based upon fraud. The judge that was in charge of that case denied it. And I have recently gone for an appeal because they withheld exculpatory evidence that basically would get my husband off of what they were saying. They admitted that the caseworker that was involved in our case when they terminated our rights said they knew my husband was innocent, but the supervisor wanted to terminate his rights anyway. After he passed the lie detector test and a psychosexual evaluation, which proved he did not do anything to our daughter. They never got a rape kit on our daughter. She was moved to 5 different homes before she was at the 6th one, and she was moved 2 more times before that. As far as I know, my daughter's in Kansas with my cousin. Her name has been changed. I can't really give out that information on what her name is now. But the story is supposedly she wanted her name changed because bad things happened to Ashley. And we have proof, evidence that our daughter was sexually assaulted in the same foster home that my son is still at, that reported going hungry. He reported this foster home told him that their children
had. Hang on, you went to your son. Hang on, you went to your son. How many children? Tell everybody how many children you have that have been taken from you.
4.
4 children, and they're all separated, right? None of them are living together, correct?
My oldest boy is with a cousin that's in the military, and there's things that happen there between me and my cousin that, you know, it's kind of personal. It's kind of embarrassing to talk about.
What I'm trying to say is that the brothers and your children, your biological children, all 4 of them, they're separated. They're not, the brothers and sisters are not living together right now, right? They divided them, correct?
My second oldest boy and my daughter are in the same home in Wichita, Kansas. And then my youngest son is still at the foster home that there was a sexual assault on my daughter in this foster home. My son had reported that they have hit him in the stomach. They told him they didn't want him. They told him to get out of their house.
Oh, my God.
He reported this to his teacher. And this was in Shady Point, Oklahoma, LaFleur County. He said he reported it to the teachers. They did not do anything to protect my son. All they did was talk to the foster parent. It was reported to the DHS worker during our visitation.
All this is happening, and you're saying nothing's being done, right? But yet they take your children for the littlest, tiniest little thing. They take your children. You know, you're under investigation. They show up at your door. But yet all this is happening when they do something wrong and you can't get no justice. And this is the corruption.
They called our children liars. My children liars.
Unbelievable.
Repeatedly called other children liars. So,
that's
you know.
Terrible. That's
terrible. 660. I'm sorry. Who's talking there? 916?
This is his.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Friend. Sorry. What you need to do is you need to take down my telephone and give me a call, Rihanna. There's a lot of things that you can do outside of the system that they have you in right now. And the main thing to do is to step out of that system. Step all the way completely away from it and use your constitutional rights to get yourself back.
We moved to Pennsylvania. They completely broke us. They broke our spirit. My husband's a different person. So,
as long as you're participating in their system, you don't have a chance. As long as you're participating in the system that they put together, there's no chance on earth that you're going to get your children back. They do every and anything possible to be able to keep them away from you. If you could step out of that system, there are options available to you. And I can show you how to do that.
Yeah, 666. Oh, 660. Hang on. Now, I want to ask this now. Obviously, we have one individual where their husband is in prison, okay? And now, see, we get a lot of people that get kidnapped, and then the other one was violation of probation. See, this is how they also divide the family, is that CPS comes in or the husband is snatched away and put in prison, and these charges are trumped up, like one's charged with neglect here. And he violates his probation for something he may have done prior, which is, you know, everybody gets in trouble soon, you know, they get caught. Some people do, some people don't. But the thing of it is that they, if you have children, they target you and they divide up the family. Is that, what do you recommend, I mean, like for people that are incarcerated fighting for their rights for their children? I mean, they're divided. Is there anything that anyone could do?
That's even worse. I mean, if there's one parent that's incarcerated, they basically strip him of his entire rights. I know Destiny, her last court date, when she went to court, the attorney for her boyfriend actually flat out lied on the stand and said, oh, well, we saw that he was in Yolo County and they've since picked him up and moved him back to Missouri. So that's where he is now. And he was not. He was in Sacramento County Jail the entire time.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Wow. I've got another caller here also on. Unbelievable. We're going to give out all the information again before the show ends, the contact information and how you could fight back. So it's very important, okay, that you listen to these stories and learn how you could fight back. Whether or not these stories pertain to your certain case or not, or your individual case, all of them are actually linked together. One, because the snake, the head of the snake has to be chopped off. So private caller, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Pastor Terry Veal of Abba's House Ministries, and I'd like to offer my sincere condolences to you on what your children are going through, and I'd also like to offer my sincere condolences to you as well, Joseph Gibson. It truly is a terrible, terrible experience to go through.
Yeah, it sure is. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I appreciate the call tonight. Thank you. All right. Okay. All right. Next, okay, back to, 660. What's can you give out that information again and how this – what's – you said it's a long process. So can you maybe walk us through that process, what it, these people can expect or you know, can you do that? So because a lot of people say – I've got like 10 emails right now saying what's the process, like what am I going to experience or what am I going to face or what am I going to first go through or have I already gone through something? What should I be looking for next?
Sure. So what happens is – when you begin the process with CPS, the way that they're able to get so many cases through their system so quickly is they write out a bunch of paperwork and they send it to a notary public who is going to basically sign that, yes, this is the person that signed these papers, and then they start their processes. Nothing is legal. Nothing has gone through a court of record. It's done basically the same way that you would do it. So what you want to do is start your own court. There's a provision in the Constitution that allows for private court outside of a public court jurisdiction. And so you're going to start the process to serve them with a contract. We all know that contract law exists in the United States. You're going to write up a contract with your claims to them. Make sure that you have the four elements of a contract. Serve it upon them. Have the service signed by you know, a notary public saying that there was a third-party service. Wait for them to respond. If they don't, you're going to move on to a notice of default. Have the same thing. Have it served by a third party. Have it notarized. And then you're going to start your process of arbitration. So it, there's a process just like there's a process in the public court. Your private court is pretty much going to be fashioned and operated the exact same way.
Okay. All right. What's the difference between public and private?
A private court is not in a court of records as per se like a criminal court is. It's just a private court. Arbitration stands in place of the judge. But an arbitrator conclusion is regarded the same as a judge's conclusion. And you can also take that arbitration agreement once he's made his conclusion, you can take it to a state court and have it verified as a judgment.
Okay. Now, like, for instance, here in North Carolina, we've got something that's called, like, mediation. Now, what happens is when couples get involved in custody disputes and battles, what happens is that North Carolina, I don't want the callers out there to get confused between mediation and arbitration. What happens is, here in North Carolina, they give everyone the opportunity to work it out amongst themselves, you know?
Correct.
And
mediation is basically a third party that's going to sit between two people, listen to both sides, and make his best recommendation. Okay? Arbitration is somebody who's going to look at your contract paperwork, look at the actual lawful exchanges between two parties, and decide who is lawfully correct. So it's not just a recommendation from a third party individual. This is a let me look at your lawful process and your lawful process and see which one is correct. Who has done things correctly?
Gotcha on that. Okay. Now, as far as the parole situation here, when the parents are, you said they're in prison, or for instance, or for whatever reason it may be, not even a custody dispute, once they put you into prison, all your rights are stripped away. Is there anything that advice you can give people that are in prison and they face this type of problem, or that they're restrained of their liberty, they don't have their liberty in prison, so therefore, what can they do? Just cooperate with the system as best as possible, or should they fight back? I mean, what should they do?
You know, that's a really, really difficult question. When someone is in the prison system, the way we have it set up, I that's so hard anyway, because they've stripped away every right that you have already. I guess my first suggestion would be file a habeas corpus and try to get out of there. Because when you're stuck in their system, there's not a thing that they are going to allow you to do. It's amazing and insane the way that we've kidnapped people, the way that we've kidnapped children, how we just do whatever it is we feel like doing at these political parties, and they don't care. So it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I think public pressure, if you're an inmate and you're in prison, I think public pressure, outside pressure, would be the best thing to do because public pressure means dollars out of their pocket, you know?
Right, right.
So, okay, so the process, you talked about the process there. Now, once you're out of this process, say you have victory, say the children are returned, okay, and
yes.
you've won, can they come back after you again?
I imagine that they could, and you'd have to go through the process over again, but I don't see where it would be beneficial to them at all to do so, especially once you have your children back in your custody. The next step that you're going to do is file a lawsuit against every last person that had anything to do with them kidnapping your children in the first place. And you're going to take them to court and sue them.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. With Rihanna's case here, she's been battling this for years now. And I don't want to scare the other people on the phone line here. And I know I still got 916 on here. And let's see here, 213, Ms. Moreno, you're on here too still. But with Rihanna's case there, she's gone years now. I mean, is there – you said for her to call you after the show. Does she have hope here? Is there a lot of things that she can do to, get her children back? Or has it been so long now her children have been mentally damaged or they've been, obviously she wants her children back, but I'm just saying, is there a win here for her?
No matter what stage you are in the process, getting your children back is an option. Like I said, CPS is not a governmental agency. They are a for-profit company that is set in place to take children from parents for the purpose of a monetary benefit. They're not there to help children. All of us know that there are plenty of children out there that probably need to have somebody step in and help, but those people don't ever get help. It's the ones that their children are just living their lives, doing the things that they need to be doing, and CPS comes in for whatever reason and decides, oh, I'd like to take that child, and next thing you know, you're fighting for your children's rights and their lives. So no matter what stage you're in, even if you're to the point where your kids have been gone for 2 years and you don't know what else to do, you're at your wit's end, you can still remember that CPS is a for-profit company. At any time, you can serve them with a contract on what you'd like to see them do and give them an amount of time to answer you. And if they don't, then you move to the next step in commercial code. And that's to go to arbitration.
These family courts, these administrative courts, they're unconstitutional, correct? I mean, they shouldn't have any standing.
Absolutely.
Wow.
There's no There's no basis in a traffic court, in a dependency court. None of these things are a court of record.
So how are they getting away with it? How are they getting away with it?
We don't know. We're uneducated. The United States population is so uneducated at this point. These are things they don't teach you in school, and they don't direct you towards that way of learning, so you don't ever pick up a constitution or a commercial code or a set of laws to figure these things out for yourself. You just go along with what they taught you.
Wow. That's good, what you just said right there. Absolutely. You're correct. But it's never too late to educate ourselves either. Now, let's reflect this. I'm going to give everyone some closing thoughts here for the show. I'm going to give everyone 5 minutes to say whatever you want to say here that's on the call queue right now. But a different scenario here. Say a mother and father split up now, and you know what happens in that scenario. They start attacking each other, and now
right.
CPS is like the shark circling. What do you
exactly.
recommend there, or is there any way that someone can fight back, or a more stable parent, whether it be the father, whether it be the mother, or what advice can you give those two people?
The only advice I would give them is, first of all, I don't care what situation two adults are in, if you're parents, be co-parents. You have to mature for the sake of your children. Your children are at stake, and you are responsible for their well-being. So if one of you guys is not as mature as the other one, get on the same level. Talk to each other. There's no sense in dragging it out through a court system that isn't even of the law, isn't even of the Constitution, when you two are perfectly capable of working it out between yourselves. And if you're not, then speak to somebody who, on the outside, a third party, who is able to give you some better advice. But you don't have to drag it through the court system. It's unnecessary. The court is not a court of record. They don't have your best interest at heart. And if you take it that route, there's a good possibility your children are going to end up in the system in somebody's foster home, and you don't see them anymore.
Wow. Unbelievable. That hits home for me right
well,
there, let me tell you.
It's not just foster homes. They end up in group homes and so-called orphanages as well.
That too.
My dad was placed in an orphanage, and he talked about the abuse, the sexual abuse. He said that when he was in this orphanage, they would punish him by making him pick up stickers out of the yard.
Wow.
He said him and a bunch of children or teenagers in this orphanage, he found out that one of the staff members raped his brother, and he said that him and a bunch of these teenagers got together and beat the shit out of the dude.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of horror stories out there, horror stories. We don't want to – we kind of want to stay away from those because we don't want to scare anybody out there. I mean, because these women are going through enough right now, especially the ones on the call line that have lost their children. But that's good advice. What
yeah,
you said. What I'm gonna do is go down. I'm gonna go down the line here. What's that?
I said I just wanted to bring in the group homes, the orphanage as well. You know, besides the foster home.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go down the line here. Start from the top here. I want to take the 5 minutes if you have to. We'll just do closing thoughts to the podcast here tonight and talk about just recap on your story. Talk about what people could do, or if you got something you want to get out there, this is your chance right now because I've got a lot of people on the phone line. You can hear the line breaking up. I can only hold so many callers. That's why. So, Mrs. Moreno, I'm going to let you go first since you were the topic of tonight's show also. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for that. I just want to say that I really truly feel for, you know, the folks that are on the call today. You know, whatever it is we could do to support you guys, we're here. You know, we have to stick together. That's the only way we're going to beat this system. And for everybody that was on the line or was not on the line, if you would like to help, you know, bring my husband home, you could contact me at bringpawhome@gmail.com. Again, bringpawhome@gmail.com. And I would gladly send you all the information so that you could call in on the day of the board of parole executive meeting and object to his denial petition. And to everybody here on this call, I wish everybody best of luck. And I hope that, you know, we can fight this together.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. 916 from California. Go ahead. Is she still with me? She was, I think that was the one in the same call there. I think that's the same caller. 916, you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
I apologize. So really the only thing that I wanted to say is that no matter what situation you're in, whether it's with CPS, whether it's with people incarcerated, there's a constitution that's set in place for your rights. And if you have to be here in the United States living your life every day, you should know the rules that govern that life. The Constitution is where those rules are set up, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. Anything other than that is a waste of your time, and it's set against you. So learn your laws, learn your rules, take the avenues that are available to you, and best of luck to everybody.
Now, can I ask you a question there? What about this? Now, this is not the sovereign type of attitude where you've heard that sovereign citizen movement. I'm not part of this, and I'm, you know, I don't want to get this confused where, you know, I don't want no part of the Constitution. Yeah. So can you maybe differentiate that where you're not a part of that? You're recognizing the Constitution. We have to be a country of laws, and the Constitution
Absolutely.
Is there in place, right?
Absolutely. And the Founding Fathers were not unintelligent people. When they sat down together to put the laws together that were going to govern this land, they did so with many, many, many hours of research, looking at other governments and the way they were operated and what the problems were and the pitfalls that they had. So the people that put together our Constitution were not at all uneducated people. They put that Constitution in place because they thought it was going to be the best way for our land to survive. And it is if we would just continue to use it.
That's right. That's right, and that's good advice. I'm gonna get back to you one second here. I just want to say something. We'll give Rihanna. Rihanna, you want to say something real quick before I wrap up the show here? Because I want to say a couple more things. Go ahead, Rihanna.
I didn't get to hear a few of the other stories already, but you know, I definitely want to say I agree with all of us coming together, and that enough is enough. Innocent people, all the families that are fighting for your children and the ones that have not had CPS in your house yet, do not let them pass that fucking door. You do not have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they threaten your family if you go up against them and, you know, even your children. And it's very hard. So... just because it's an allegation does not make it true, and you do not have to let them in your house without a warrant.
There you go. All right. Before we go tonight here, I wanted to recap on the show here. We got some CPS cases on here where a mother's three children were kidnapped, and she told her story. If you missed the story, go back in the – the show is archived on Blog Talk Radio. It'll be on my Facebook, and I'm sure I'm going to send it to them. You guys know how to find it, most of you, my regular listeners that are on the line tonight. It was very powerful stories here that we listened to. Can you give out your contact information and research information one more time again? That was very important for the new callers that came on and listened, and the people in the chat room and whatnot.
Sure, no problem. The website where we found a lot of the information at is getmychildrenback.org. So that website has a lot of information, but like I said, when you first log on to the website, his very first page says that he is not sharing any more information and he's not helping people anymore because he is in fear of his life. So you'll find some archive stuff on there, but there's not any new information to be found as of yet. My personal contact number is 916-706-9666. You can also contact Destiny at 660-619-4453.
Wow. And you're obviously helping the young lady that was on the phone here tonight with me, correct? You're in contact with her. Yeah, and she's gone through. That is the most powerful story that I've had. I mean, I've had some powerful stories, but that's the quickest I've seen CPS come in that I've had someone come on and give me record of. You know, where it happened
right.
So fast, where they just came and took the kids, and that's it. You know,
right.
I mean, that's scary.
They
I mean, it's time to wake up people.
They assume that because she's not from here, she doesn't know the way that California works, that they can just do whatever they want to, and she won't have any recourse. That's what they assume.
Yeah. Well, but they're wrong because they got you, they got me, and we're going to keep fighting, and we're going to contact these people, and we're going to put the information out there, and trust me, this isn't the only podcast we're going to do. I do this all a lot, so we're going to follow up with you guys in the future, and and recap on the success that you got, because you're going to be out there fighting for this, and we want to get
Absolutely.
Other people involved fighting also, okay?
Absolutely.
So very important. This is our children. The children, our future,
yes,
for goodness sake.
Definitely.
I'm going to be contacting you probably off the air, too. I want to talk to you because I've got something I want to talk to you about also. I want to thank you so much, everybody that came on the podcast here tonight, understanding the times in which you live today. And it's very important, these CPS cases and these mothers and fathers, too. Everybody out there, the parents out there that are children are being kidnapped. It's just terrible. It's a terrible situation. It's painful. And go back and listen to this show, and it'll be archived. I want to thank everybody. God bless, and thank you for joining me tonight. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.